Good morning, everyone. You are tuned in to KUOI Moscow 89.3 FM, or if everything worked out properly, listening to us on Spotify. This is the Vandal Scoreboard with myself, James Torman Aldrich, and co-host Jaden Barfus. We have a lot to talk about today, including Idaho's win over FBS Wyoming, football win, some swimming and diving news, golf and tennis and track and field and volleyball. It's almost like it is fall time on the Palouse. But before we get into all that, Jaden took a trip this last weekend. This is being recorded Thursday, going out Saturday. So last week, Jaden went to a place that a lot of Vandal fans were cheering for last week against Boise State. He went to Autzen Stadium to cheer on the Oregon Ducks, as we mentioned in episode a couple weeks ago, that is his all-time favorite team. So he went down there. Jaden, talk us kind of how that trip went. You got back on Sunday. You had no voice. So just kind of tell us what that stadium was like, what that experience was like.
Yeah, I mean, for me, since I was 6-7 years old, that was always like my dream was to go and watch a game there, especially at night. And the game was at night. The game was against Boise State. And, I mean, it was 37-34, game-winning field goal on our side of the end zone. So we got to see all the action. The game day experience was awesome. We actually got to see their march into the stadium, got to tailgate a bit. I mean, obviously, Dakota and I weren't drinking, but it was obviously a great experience for me. And I now definitely know that stadium gets loud, and it was amazing.
I had a slightly different game day experience. I spent my afternoon at the Corner Club. I sat down next to a guy named Jerry. Jerry was an experience. If you've ever been to Corner Club and you met Jerry, I hope you had a fun time. But I also got to meet Coach Slice's wife, who was there, who you could tell pretty quickly was Coach Slice's wife, because she kept saying, "Come on, Slice, good, you know, call a good play, like, do better," basically. So that was a lot of fun, and I got to experience Idaho beating FBS Wyoming. But we'll dive into that later. I guess we'll just kind of jump into what we have to talk about today. New head diving coach was announced earlier this week. Mark Soa has added Wei Wei, a former member of the Chinese national diving team, as the head diving coach for the women's swimming and diving team. Next up, the men's golf team was in Pullman, Washington this last week in their new, technically, conference. They were members of the Big West from 96 to 2005 and are now back in the Big West, faced off against a bunch of teams, Pac-12 teams, Big 12 teams, Mountain West, WCC, and WAC teams. So former Pac-12 football legend team, I guess, technically, Utah took first, finishing 52 under par, and Idaho took 11th out of 15 teams, finishing 6 under par. Sac State, a former Big Sky golf team, has joined Idaho in the Big West. They finished 15 under par, and it might not look great on paper for the Vandals, but facing off against a lot of really good teams, Pac-12, Oregon State, Washington State, you know, Utah, Colorado, all of these bigger teams. So look forward to watching what the golf team does for the rest of the season. Next, men's tennis and women's tennis are both headed down to Boise over the next couple weeks. Boise State, at the time that this will go out, or Idaho is currently at Boise State, facing probably a bunch of teams in tennis, or maybe just Boise, but it is an invitational. So got down there September 13th on Friday. Be there until tomorrow down in Boise. Women's tennis team will head down there September 20th through the 22nd. And then track and field is also competing, or did compete. They traveled over to Colfax on Friday. The last time they ran was, I think, up in Spokane, where the men finished fifth, women finished third. So they'll look to continue moving up in the ranks of the Big Sky Conference in Colfax this weekend. And then before we get into all of the really fun stuff that Jaden and I love talking about, soccer and football, the volleyball team, for I think the first time in a very long time, I don't know how many sets they won last season, but I remember it wasn't very many. But they were down in Cedar City, Utah for the Southern Utah tournament last week, where they took on UC Riverside, who they took the set against, and then faced Southern Utah twice, falling in both games. And yesterday, September 13th, they headed to the Siena College tournament in Londonville, New York. I wonder if, like, Albany and Idaho switched flights or something. Maybe they got the same plane.
Maybe. But, who knows?
Or Loudonville, actually. Sorry, that's a U, not an N. So they're in Loudonville, New York, taking on...
It's close to Jersey.
Oh. I'm glad you know your geography, Jane. I finished fifth in a geography B once. So, but they're taking on Siena College, New Jersey Institute of Technology, and Syracuse between the 13th and 14th. So... if you're listening to this live, there's a chance to watch them take on New Jersey Institute of Technology. Would have been a chance. You could have watched them take on New Jersey. And then they face Syracuse at 1 o'clock. So could be a good weekend, maybe. I don't know how Siena College, New Jersey Institute of Technology, and Syracuse are at volleyball. But that could be fun. Or not. Depending on how you look at it. But I look at it as every game, when you have a brand new team and new coaching staff, you're getting better day to day. So
yeah, I mean, for really the volleyball, and I've kind of not really talked about this from my point of view, but it's honestly great for them to just play. Honestly, I mean, after everything that happened, I think it's just great for them to go out and play. And obviously, everyone wants to win, right? But this is a team about building up what was a strong championship culture that just got ran into the ground by Coach Gonzalez in 2 years. So it's definitely not going to be a thing that will be fixed overnight. But these long trips on the road can be a big team bonding for this team that needs to come together. And we're definitely going to see come late September, early October, when conference play starts.
Yeah, I know they head back to the East Coast for a tournament next week as well in South Carolina. So a lot of travel for this team, but as you mentioned, an experience where they can grow together, especially when you have teammates from all across the world who different languages, different cultures, all get to experience Idaho volleyball together. So I'm excited to see what this volleyball team can do this season. I'll take a set or two here and there, because that's better than what it was last year.
It's growing.
And there's a reason to go to Mem Gym this season. Coach Gonzalez is gone, which a lot of people, they weren't going to renew season tickets. They weren't going to show up to games if he was still here. So, an opportunity for people to get back into Idaho volleyball in one of the weirdest buildings on campus.
In
Mem Gym. So, yeah. I'm excited for September 26th. So, now, after I've blabbed for about 5 minutes, I'm going to let Jaden take over, because, he's the soccer genius here at the University of Idaho. They should hire you to be soccer genius. Vandals coming off a loss against Boise State, playing Nevada at the time of recording, and then back home tomorrow at the time this goes out on September 15th against Utah Tech. So Jane's going to talk about the Boise game, preview Nevada and Utah Tech, and tell us what he saw. He was, you were coming back, but still tuned into the game on Sunday against BSU. So just kind of walk us through kind of a tough weekend for the Vandals.
Yeah, I mean, that game, as you and I talked about before the game, it was all about coming out. I mean, coming out on the front foot, establishing our style of play. And our style of play, if you never watched us play, we play a 4-4-2, four defenders, four midfielders, two up top. And so we're more of a build out of the back, kind of pass around you type of team that loves to absolutely loves 1-0 games, loves close games because we can really put teams away with our last year was a nationally ranked defense, and I'm really going to touch on the problems we've had at the back this year. But coming into that game, it was all about coming in with the right attitude, right mentality, and to start out the game, we did. I mean, Boise State kind of, obviously off the home crowd, really got into it. First 5 minutes put us under pressure, but then the whole rest of the half, it was all, I mean, it wasn't all Idaho, but Idaho started to gain momentum, and they really irritated Boise State and Boise State head coach, as Boise State head coach took out every starter but the goalkeeper. And so Boise State was irritated, and then Lake City alum and Coeur d'Alene resident Maddie Lasher scored her first goal of the season, in which I hope breaks out Maddie, because she's kind of been she hasn't gotten on the score sheet, and I'm pretty sure for a striker that's your main goal is to score, and so obviously that was probably weighing on her. And so, I mean, I don't know, I really haven't spoken to Maddie lately, but that goal, I bet, was a huge weight off her shoulders, and it gave Vandals and Vandal fans hope. I mean, we're up 1-0 against Boise State on the road. And then the second half came. And in the last two games, and I've told you this, and I've told the podcast this, we have given up a goal in the first 10 minutes of the game in the last two, now three games. Carly Cross, who was probably Boise State's best player all game, hit a beautiful shot. I mean, there is no way Paula Flores saves any one of these three goals. But it's the fact that her pass was unguarded. The run was unguarded. I mean, there was no defense until the box. And with a player as dynamic as Cross, that's too late. And then you have Morgan Pador, who could have walked down the middle of Moscow. She was so wide open, and then struck it with the right foot right into the top corner again. And bam, within 5 minutes, we're down 2-1. Bam, just like that. And then a careless foul in the 80th minute. And then freshman Jillian Anderson perfected what in the soccer business would call a perfect free kick. She kicked it with the right foot and right, and the ball like grazed Paula's fingertips and in. So that game, I think for us, first half was okay. Second half was poor. It was terrible. And me, as someone who has watched this team for 3 years, there's a trend we get when it's like tougher teams. We always like, we are not as aggressive. We're not. I mean, against Gonzaga, we allowed, I think it was 13, 14 shots at the first half. Wazoo, we allowed 18, 19 shots. So many shots we allowed. That's because we're not gaining possession. We're not passing the ball. And against Boise, it was the same thing. I mean, if you watch that second half, honestly, you would have had no clue how Idaho scored. It was that type of end. And then now I'm going to talk about something that I don't like talking down on teams. I really don't. But this team's defense, the midfield, they are not on the same page. 11 conceded goals. All of last season, we had 16 conceded goals. We already have 11 in 12 games. I mean, 7 games, sorry. Two games with three or more goals, both of them on the road. I know that we are unbeaten at home, but versus Nevada, who has given up 12 goals and has only scored, let me check, I think 6 or 7, this game should be a game where Idaho comes out and just wins it from the start. They do have a player in Olivia Loomis who gave Idaho trouble last year. She wasn't the one that scored, but in five games, she has 3 goals, no assists. And then Emily Rich, who was a stellar player for them the back half of last year, has 4 assists already in 5 games. So Nevada is 2-3. They've only played 5 games. So we played more games, but on the road this season, we've been terrible.
I want to go back to this Boise State game,
yep,
which I accidentally just closed out of the stats of. But, I tuned in, I think, after Maddie Lasher's goal, because I completely forgot it was happening. I tuned in about 12:30. And, as you said, Idaho has had this theme for the past few years of, we're going to score first. And we're going to try and play defense for, 70 minutes, mm-hmm, of game time. And that may have worked when you had a team that was very cohesive, when you had one of the best goalkeepers in the country. And this isn't anything on Paula. As you said, Paula couldn't have saved any of those 3 goals. But they were all to the exact same spot as well. And that's nothing on Paula, though. You just can't let up those opportunities.
No, and I mean, when I say this, every soccer player knows offense is all 10 players. Defense is all 10 players. And it's been like 4 players defending and then 6 just sitting there. Like, I don't know how many times Coach Clevenger had to scream at them at the game, the last home game, to press because they would not press. And then, we're super lucky that UC San Diego only scored 1 goal because it was the same thing. We got no pressure on the ball. And pressuring the ball, it's kind of like a blitz. It throws off the other team. And when you press, that gets them out of their mojo. First half, we did fine. They had a couple good chances, but the second half, they could have scored 6-7 goals easily. Paula is not the problem.
No.
Well, okay, Paula is not the only problem so far. And for us talking about all these problems, we're still 4-3. And so we still have 4 wins under our belt. But when Idaho plays teams like Montana has probably a better offense than some FBS teams. Or some like upper power 5 teams. Boise State and Montana, that game's going to be a really good matchup. And that game is in Montana. And so that one will be a really good game. But teams like Montana, teams like NAU that have potent offenses, we're not going to be able to just sit back and rely on it being 1-0. And there's one person that I want to actually highlight that has been Margo's been scoring the goals, but I think that Sarah Rogers, who, I don't know if I talked about her last week, but she came in for Jade Sprague, who transferred. She has been a very stable horse inside our midfield, but the entire midfield looked gassed, looked tired, and did not want to press. I don't know exactly what's being said at halftime, but our starts are terrible. We've conceded a goal within the first 10 minutes of the last 3 games. And against good conference games, that could be a loss. You and I were at the game my freshman year in 2022 when we're up 1-0 the whole game against Sac State, and then Sac State scores 2 late goals.
I think they scored twice in like 6 minutes.
Yeah, it was super quick. And, the one goal might have been whatever. Doesn't matter. We had chances to get a second goal, to get a third. We have chances to kill games, and we were taking wild shots. or we're getting a good opportunity and then passing it. Or our, and this is also a stat, our forwards have 3 goals. Our midfielders have 5. Actually, no, our midfielders have 6 because Annika has 1 and then Margot has 5. And then, okay, sorry. So we have 4 from the forwards. Maddie has 1, Sienna has 2, Jaden Hanks has 1. But it's like, and Carly has 1, so 5. But it's just like, it's been great that we have a whole bunch of forwards playing. But it's that, is starting Carly and Jaden the best matchup when you have 2 powerful center backs? Carly and Jaden are great players. They're great. But to play a 4-4-2, you have to have that person that can hold up play, that can really establish a defense. Matty Lasher or people have forgotten, Sienna Gonzalez started hot. She scored 2 goals in her first game, and now she's barely getting playing time. So they're definitely going to have to fix those problems. Okay, now that I've rambled on, I'm now going to go into my preview about Nevada and Utah Tech. As I said, Nevada is 2-3. They have scored 6 goals. I've allowed 14. So this definitely should be a game where Idaho should definitely get some goals. They're allowing almost 3 goals a game. So this, I mean, I know the game's at home, under the lights. The game is, I believe, on turf because it's played at the Nevada where they play football. So if that should be a nice familiarity with us. They have 8 cards, 8 yellow cards.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah, especially for 5 games. And that is a lot. And then after we play them, we play Utah Tech, who, as I was telling you this morning, as we were walking in today, they are a team that Idaho was last year. They were a very defensive sound team that doesn't score a whole bunch of goals, but can score enough to win. The record's 3-1-2. Lacey Fox is really their workhorse, 4 goals on the year. And then Latea Brost has 1 goal and 3 assists. And so, I mean, the game Thursday will be a challenging one. Since it's on the road, but we should be able to score. Game Sunday should be a good one because I wouldn't say it depends on the Saturday result. But if the Vandals football wins, a lot more people will come out and support that. I know that it's football and
football. Yeah. So if
football night. So I don't know what that means. I believe the Kochek and the team might be there.
How this is going to work? I looked at the promo page for everything before the season started. So if you're in Moscow on Saturday and you have your RV, there's no reason to leave until, 3:30 is probably when this game's going to end. Probably. If you bought tickets to Albany, you're getting into the Utah Tech game for free. Just got to show your Albany ticket. Okay.
That's what it is.
I mean, this could be a very exciting weekend for Idaho.
Yeah.
If you knock off UAlbany with your 57th string quarterback, and then you go and you beat a Utah Tech team that sounds like they're really good at soccer. This could be a good weekend to be on the Palouse. And, I love promos like this because we're going to see probably a sold out or nearly sold out KB Dome on Saturday.
Hopefully, yeah.
Even if the weather is not great.
The one thing about the KB Dome is if it's not great, a lot more people will come in to watch.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, and it's like for the last year matchup against Utah Tech was played in St. George, and a game-winning goal by Kylie Hummel, who name has like disappeared. She's still playing. She's still on the roster. She's played in a few games, but she really hasn't absorbed this new these. And it's not like these names are new either. Sienna Gonzalez has been here. Naomi Alvarez coming off an injury. And so they really have good depth at the forward position, as I would said. So I think both games, they're going to have to show both sides. They're going to have to show their offense. They're going to have to show they can score. And they can score more than one. Because one goal in college soccer is not going to relatively win you every game. It's not going to win you half your games. I mean, if we're talking higher level college, I mean, Penn State's averaging 3 goals right now. Utah State down in Logan, who's a Mountain West team, is number 10 in the entire country right now. They just beat BYU. They are 7-0, and they have one game where they've scored one goal or less. So we're going to have to get our offense up. And then the one thing that concerns me about the defense is that we have three people from last year's team: Cassidy Elliker, Rebecca Reyes, and Peters. Alyssa Peters. So it's not like we have a new four. It's 3+1 that Kate Spring played inside the Big Sky Championships last year. She played in the semi-M, and Kate has been dang good, too. She has 3 assists, and her and Izzy, I mean, so it hasn't been that the back line hasn't played good, because they have. It's just in certain situations, they will either fall asleep or they'll switch off, and then the team scores. I know that every coach will never say, oh, well, this is the problem. I can tell you from a soccer perspective, 12 goals in 7 games is a problem. Scoring is great. Okay, but allowing 12 goals in 7 games, especially that we've played teams that we shouldn't have allowed a goal and we should have won by more. So Nevada is a game that I'm really hoping we come out and we win 3-0, 4-0, and just shut me up, because that would be great to be proven wrong. But we're definitely gonna have to see. And for these articles, you can go to uiargonaut.com.
The self promotion.
Yes, because I will always promote it, because it's good to get traction. But check out uiargonaut.com, as I will have a game story for both of these to see how these results pan out.
Yeah, University of Nevada, at the time of recording, we're a couple hours away from start time, and then Utah Tech, this will go out about 24 hours, or 20, I can't read, yeah. About 27 hours before the game starts. Yeah. It makes absolutely no sense to not be in the Kibbe Dome on Sunday, unless, like, you have a grandma or a small child that you have to get back home, and if you live in Moscow, what else are you doing on a Sunday at 1 p.m.? I know what you're doing, but, and then I think this is, this Sunday game against Utah Tech is going to be good for Idaho, because they don't have to travel for another 3 weeks.
Yep.
They get Utah Tech at home. They get to stay here, get to play UNLV, stay here, play Sac State, stay here, play Portland State. And then, they travel to Eastern Washington on the 6th of October.
Yeah, and Eastern's only an hour and a half. So
plenty of time to get rested, to get some wins in at home. Maybe they can keep this little home, not technically win streak yet, since they've only played 2 games at home. But, Utah Tech, we got a 3-game win streak at home.
I would say for the fans, come out. I mean, that's one thing you can do. Come out and watch them, because watching this team is very exciting to watch. I mean, they're very exciting to watch them from the start until the end. And it's just going to be about can they complete the game.
I want to allude to, November here. You can't complain if you don't vote. You can't complain if you don't show up.
Exactly.
If you want to talk about, oh man, the soccer team's doing so poorly, but you didn't come and watch San Diego or IU Indianapolis, or you're not tuning in online. Fun fact, the Mountain West Network and I, we got kind of along last week, so maybe we can bury the hatchet there. But, you know, there's no reason to not come out if you're already here, unless, you know, you really have to travel. Yeah, but,
and really, I'm sorry. I mean, this might come off as being rude or whatever. I don't care. People have got to start paying attention to this freaking soccer team. This soccer team is a defending Big Sky champion, went to the NCAA tournament, has done more than any other program at this school in the last, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
And no one came. I mean, to the game against UC San Diego, they were giving out rings, and no one showed up.
There were still, because no, I left early. I had to get to a meeting. And when I left, probably, I think it was about 10 minutes into the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't schedule a game and a meeting at the same time, please, for future reference. Idaho, I have meetings at 6:30 on Thursdays. So if we could get like 7:30 games on Thursdays.
But, yeah,
but there were still probably like 20, 30 replica rings when I left. Yeah. And, I can look at what the attendance was, I guess.
Well, but. I mean, but it's like Washington State right down the road has almost 1,000 a night. And sometimes we're getting 100, maybe 200 people, and it's pathetic.
Yeah, and I mean, there were 727 for San Diego.
Okay, that was good.
KB Dome fits 16,000.
And I get it. Well, soccer's not a major sport. I don't care if it's not a major sport. It's our most successful sport. I mean, why is it that Saturday, inside a game, we might get absolutely annihilated? Is it going to be sold out? But then inside a soccer game, which we have a dang good chance about actually beating them, no one shows up. I mean, it makes no sense to me. This team has been the most successful team here, and no one shows up. It is an absolute joke.
Yeah, I mean, Mark and I went, former co-host Mark Warren, who's off doing big boy things, you know, him and I, when we were both working at the Argonaut a couple years ago, wrote an article on that. You know, there's no reason to not show up to these things. There's no reason, especially if you're a student. 1 p.m. on a Sunday, we know you're not studying anyway.
No.
None of you are at the library. A lot of you are at One World studying. But go at 3 o'clock instead, you know, and yeah. I'm not against pursuing academic pursuits, but when you have these fun things happening on the weekend, you're paying to be here. You get free tickets.
Yep.
You know, I'm just as upset at the students as I am at the community for not showing up to things.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, the students have to be better, definitely, but it's like the absolute pity of the Moscow community. Like, there's probably like 9 to 10 members of the community that come. The rest of them are parents or high school kids or college kids. I mean, there was a great amount of students there against San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
There was like no community members, which doesn't make any sense because they all brag about being in the sports town. Well, to be fair, it's really only a one sport town, and that has to get fixed.
Yeah, I mean, I went to a small high school in rural Montana, relatively small high school in rural Montana. People would show up for women's basketball. People would show up heavily for volleyball, men's basketball, and obviously football. And, you know, when you have a soccer program that's as good as the Idaho Vandals were last year, have been since I've been here, and this is my fourth year here, and we've been very good, you know, since 2020, 2021. Jeremy Clevenger is a darn good coach. We have good players. I don't understand it either. And I hope that, you know, maybe y'all prove us wrong on Sunday and you pack the KB Dome.
Please come out, because the most people that have been here is a Washington game last year, and that was like 1,400.
Yeah.
And, okay, for a non-KB Dome, that's great. 1,400. But it's like for Montana, who has bleachers about, they can fit about, I think, 2,000 something.
Mm-hmm.
They sell out every freaking home game. Every game.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I know that we're not going to get 16,000. That's what I'm asking for. Get like 2 or 3 to actually go out and support. But,
yeah. I mean, there's, I think, if you look at the numbers for the amount of students that are actually on campus or living in the Moscow area, there's 4,000 or 5,000 students alone who could be showing up at these games. And I understand that not everybody's a sports fan. You don't have to be a sports fan to support the university you go to. You know, I have classes with two players on the soccer team. I've had a handful of classes with former members of the football team, handful of classes with, you know, former volleyball players. And these are the people that you're walking by every day. You're probably doing group projects with. You know, there's no reason to not go out and support. And I'm hoping we can see a big crowd Sunday with the football and football promotion.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, if Idaho wins, which I think might be time to dive into.
Yeah, yeah.
We're sitting about half an hour here talking about soccer, which I'm not mad about. I love when Jaden carries the weight of the show. But this is a game that I have had circled since, late December, mid-December? Because it was right before...
Yeah, it was right before break.
Yeah.
I actually believe the next morning I left.
Yeah.
For break. So it was like... That game was so frustrating in so many ways. And I think, if you guys haven't heard... We could be on our third string quarterback right now. I mean, Jack Wagner has a chance to play, but I mean, inside our two games, we have one win, one loss. But my question is, was it even worth it?
Yeah, I mean
because it's like we're down our third string quarterback in our third game, and so it's like. What happens if Nick, who's a true freshman, goes out there and he gets hurt? I mean, it's just like, why are we going to play these FBS teams and not playing a game that can keep our quarterbacks safe? Because in two games, two quarterbacks getting hurt, that is obviously a Idaho problem. Not Oregon or a Wyoming. And I didn't watch the Wyoming game because I was out exploring Eugene. But, I mean, I did watch some of it. And I just think that this game could be a very interesting game, especially for all the people that Albany lost as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm very excited to see, you know, Albany, I think, lost like 30 players to the portal. You know, that'll happen
including their starting quarterback, who's transferred to the University of Miami.
Yeah, who's now sitting on the bench behind Cam Ward.
I would rather sit on the bench in Miami, Florida, than start in freezing cold Albany, New York.
Yeah, I mean, but this is going to be an interesting game. You know, you have a new quarterback for Albany. I'm not even going to pull up their roster. That's too much work. But I do want to, you know, just touch on this Wyoming game before heading into Albany. Idaho picking up their second FBS win with Coach Eck at the helm. I think undefeated against Mountain West teams, right? We haven't played any other Mountain West teams other than Nevada.
We've only played Nevada and Wyoming.
Yeah, so 2-0 against Nevada, Wyoming. This is a game where... Idaho looked good. Jack Wagner looked good. I mean, he completed his first 8 passes, went on to go 12 for 21, and then, you know, got injured. So Nick Wagner came in. Nick Josephette came in. I didn't sleep very well last night. So Nick Josephette came in, didn't attempt a single pass. But the running game is what a lot of people were worried about this year. You lose Anthony Woods to Utah, who was, you know, one of the better running backs in Idaho who probably could have had a great career here, but follow the money if you want.
Well, Anthony Woods was probably the first or second best tailback in the entire FCS last year.
Yeah.
That was because of what the U of I did. I mean, they were a run, ground and pound, and then spread you out and smack you over the top, Hayden Hatton and Jermaine Jackson.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at this, Nate Thomas, a transfer from the University of South Dakota, who's been riddled with injuries throughout his career. Fingers crossed that doesn't follow him here. 15 attempts, 64 yards. He had 5 yards lost. Eli Cummings, 16 attempts, 61 yards, 52 netted, and a touchdown. What I really like to see, you didn't watch the game. I don't know if you saw the highlights or anything, but what I really enjoyed watching in this game was the amount of wildcat that Idaho ran. When Roshan Johnson was here, you know, Idaho was running a lot of goal line wildcat, even under the the legendary Paul Petrino. Would run a lot of wildcat to get into the end zone, but Idaho was running it pretty consistently down the field. Mm-hmm. And then Eli Cummings ended up getting in the end zone.
Yeah,
Jack Wagner had a
passing touchdown to Jake Cox.
Right? Yeah, Jake Cox, 2 games, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Jordan Dwyer had an okay game, 6 receptions, 66 yards.
Yeah.
Mark Hamper, 2 receptions, 34 yards. The only thing I didn't like seeing, and somebody mentioned this in the good old Facebook comments on, I think it was a Big Sky post or something, but, we're targeting Jordan Dwyer basically every single play. That makes sense when you have, your backup quarterback, you're trying to figure out your identity of who your other receivers are going to be. But Jordan Dwyer and Mark Hamper were the only two wide receivers to catch a pass in this game.
Yeah, and that really has been the one thing under Coach Eck. We really target one wideout. I mean, for the last 2 years, it's been Hayden Haddon. And everyone can say, well, Jermaine got catched. Our main target was always Hayden Haddon. If Haddon wasn't open, we'd find other people. But our main target was always Hayden Haddon. And so I would definitely say that a wideout not having a touchdown pass in 2 games is for sure concerning. I think that against Oregon, I mean, I kind of get it. Oregon's DBs are pretty stinking good. But you also have a Wyoming team that defensively wasn't really good against Arizona State. And I think just from the highlights and what people have told me, there were several attempts that if the wideout catches it, if Wagner puts a little bit more air. I mean, there's this what ifs that if this happens, maybe we score again. Maybe it's not a 4-point game. But I'm proud because my prediction was 17-10. So I was only off by 3 points.
I think mine was 17 to – was mine 17 to 14 or 17 to – mine was 17 to 14. Yeah. Yours was – I kept saying at the club after they scored that field goal, I was so mad because my prediction was going to be wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, so was I was closer.
Yeah,
We're now 1-1 on predicting wins. But we're still 0-2 on getting the score right. But
yeah, no, actually, we're actually
2-0 on wins.
Yeah, we're 2-0 on wins and losses, and then we're 1-1 because we both were in that 5-point area. So
yeah,
but the game against Albany, I think, is going to be a really exciting atmosphere. I think first game inside the Kibbe Dome, everyone's excited, and I think that the one draw is going to be the quarterback because everyone wants to see Jack Lane, and everyone's okay. Well, Jack Wagner is. Wagner's just a little step down. Now we're going to see a true freshman who really has never played before.
Yeah.
Against Wyoming, I guess he came in and was like handing the ball off and stuff. So
he was in his J.J. McCarthy era.
Yeah, and so he really hasn't gotten the chance to play as a legit game. So it's definitely going to be an exciting game. I think that if Idaho grounds and pounds and then the occasional pass in here and there will be great. I think that when and I'm sorry to Jack Wagner and Nick, I think when Jack Lane gets back, we can open up the offense a bit. But keep it very simple for these guys so that they can execute, because we can come out with these fancy trick plays and all of this stuff. But if we just execute our offense, we'll be fine until that game against Montana State.
Yeah, I decided to not be lazy. I pulled up UAlbany's statistics for their past couple games. They just caught a massive L against the West Virginia. I don't care who they played in their first game. Yeah. So they can't beat a decent FBS team either. But we beat Wyoming. So it's Miles Burkett. He in 2 games he's completed 30 passes. attempted 65, zero interceptions, 471 yards, and two touchdowns, with his longest pass being 75 yards. I heard he was a transfer from somewhere, I thought. Nope, never mind. I was incorrect. He's from Wisconsin, though. I think that's where I got mixed up, is he's from Wisconsin. He didn't play at Wisconsin, so though.
He's very used to that cold weather.
Yeah, so he's from Franklin High School. He's got an okay mustache. He's got really big eyebrows. So that's all I'm really seeing on this guy. But, you know, I think Idaho is going to come out into this game, maybe with a third-string quarterback.
We'll see.
But what I'm most excited to see is this defense against a team that, you know, the defense lost to last year. I'm excited to see what Jack Stanek can do in his second year. I'm really excited to see what Keyshawn James Newby does against this quarterback. I kind of feel bad for the guy. He might be on the ground quite a bit. You know, Keyshawn only had four total tackles. He had three sacks. I think he timed it, would have been his first sack. I think he timed it perfectly. Great. They called it offsides. I'm not one to complain about the refs.
You are, but...
I'm going to be nice today. Now, Coach X said the same thing. I'm quoting Coach X here. He said that Keyshawn was off the line right when he should have been. But four tackles, three TFLs, three sacks. One forced fumble.
Yeah, I mean, he really has been the defensive force first two games.
Yeah.
I mean, versus Oregon, he didn't get a lot of tackles, but the guy was forceful, and he forced Dylan into uncomfortable positions. So I'm also really excited to see this defense. I'm excited to see this. The secondary, who gave up two, like, 70-yard touchdowns Albany last year. I mean, that quarterback lit us up last year.
Yeah, I mean, Reese Poffenbarger in Idaho's defense was the second vote, highest vote getter behind Giovanni McCoy for freshman of the year a couple years ago.
Yeah, but we also had Marcus Harris and we had Marvin Kenyon, two of the best corners in the Big Sky. And we also have Tommy McCormick, free safety, and everyone got burnt.
Yeah.
And so we're definitely going to see. I think that, and you and I have talked about this, I think that our play calling last year got a bit predictive. Mm-hmm. So that's going to have to be, and I'm not saying to go out crazy, but I'm going to do, like, throwing a pass and kind of short and get Nick, if it is Nick, get him kind of into a mojo throwing the ball. And then if it's Jack, we can kind of, you know, go into our normal game plan. So,
yeah. And just a reminder, we are recording this on Thursday. I have to be to the game early to set the tailgate up. Yeah. So when this goes out on Saturday, please don't come for our throats if Jack Wagner is the starting quarterback. Yes, they have not released the depth chart. As we're recording this, but you know, you just mentioned wide receivers. Looking at Albany's receiving core, kind of a similar situation as Idaho, where they're targeting this one guy. His name's Seven McGee. He's a senior, transfer 5'9"
from Oregon.
Oh,
well. Seven. Yep. He came in as a tailback and then transitioned to wideout. He's fast. Very fast. I mean, everything else about him, he's all right on routes, but the guy's fast.
Yeah.
He's a very fast guy.
He's 5'9". I'm 5'9", so maybe there's a connection there. I don't know. But he has 209 yards on, I think, maybe nine receptions, I think is what that stands for. One touchdown. No, it just says N-O, but it looks like that's the reception count for Albany's stats. One touchdown, 75-yard catch. He's averaging 104.5 yards per game. So this is a guy that Idaho's probably going to key in on. And then rushing the ball, they have Griffin Woodo, who's on 29 attempts, rushed for 112 yards, lost 10, so technically only rushed for 102, but two touchdowns, had a 41-yard rush, and then this guy named JoJo Uga, or Uga, one of the two, 5'11 running back. He's a freshman, played in one game, 9 attempts, 57 yards, no touchdowns. So it looks like they're still a very pass-heavy team that Idaho can key in on. Their big thing last year was that defensive line.
That defensive line tore our offensive line apart.
Yeah,
it wasn't even close. But I mean, Anthony Woods couldn't run. So
yeah, their leading tackler is Dante Lunan. He's a 5'10 linebacker, 217 pound dude. Is massive.
Wait, 270 or 17?
17, but he looks a lot bigger than 217. I mean, he's 5'10, so yeah. You might want to look this guy up later. It looks like he's sticking his tongue out in his photo, but I think it's his lips. He has 23 total tackles. Their sack leader is a bunch of guys with one sack for multiple yards. They have 4 total sacks in 2 games. Keyshawn James Newby had
3 in 1 game.
I really hate that I can't say 4. 4 is just a much better number. Jack Uliano has 2 quarterback hurries and a sack, but only 3 total tackles. So that's number 90. Might be the whitest man I've ever seen. He's a senior defensive lineman, 6'2", 263. But this is going to be a fun game for Idaho, for Idaho fans at least. And, you know, as the saying goes, win or lose, we still booze. So, I mean, that doesn't apply to Jaden, but you know, if you're disappointed with the outcome or really excited with the outcome, multiple ways to celebrate your evening if that's what you're into, or maybe you go read a nice book to calm down after the game. So, we have a little bit of time, Jaden. I can't see exactly how long we've been recording, but like, we can touch on this real quick for about 5 minutes or so.
Sounds good.
For those of you who aren't on social media, it was recently announced that 4 Mountain West teams will be joining
Oregon State
and Washington State in the hopefully soon newly revised and revamped Pac-12.
Yes.
You know, Boise State being one of them.
Colorado State.
And 2 others.
Yes.
But, you know, the
Fresno State and what's the other team?
But, you know,
San Diego State.
San Diego State, okay.
Yeah, so there's 6 teams right now. They're still short 2 teams to be an actual conference again. But they also have until 2026 to find 2 teams.
Yeah.
There's been talks about Cal and Stanford coming back. I can assure you they're not coming back, because if they do, they're going to have to pay the ACC a boatload.
I wouldn't let them back.
And I personally, if I'm Stanford or Cal, I don't even consider it, because Stanford and Cal are a prestigious academic school. The ACC gives a lot more academic funds for you. So, but yeah, I mean, this conference has been a 100-year conference, big conference that was near and dear to my heart as a Oregon fan, and I love the Pac-12. And then when USC and UCLA started the move to the Big Ten, everyone else spread out. And so now it's going to be 2 years later, but Pac-12 is coming back. Everyone online has been saying Idaho should join, blah, blah, blah. I am here to tell you they shouldn't.
I fully believe that Idaho is an FCS school. I've believed this since I got here. I've talked with, you know, Montana fans who say Idaho is an FCS school. That might just because they, you know, really liked beating up on us for a while when we were in the upper division. I think the 2 schools, if any FCS school or schools are going to move up, are going to be SDSU and NDSU.
Yes.
I would like to see NDSU move up. You know, SDSU has been good consistently. They're, you know, winning the past 2 national championships. But NDSU has just been this powerhouse in the FCS for so long.
Well, yeah, they've won 9 championships in 13 years. Yeah, so.
And I mean, to see schools like Delaware, Sam Houston moving up after their win in, I think they technically won the championship in that, like, spring 2020 the season.
COVID 2020, yeah.
You know, you have Mississippi State, whoever it was that Montana almost lost to a couple weeks ago. They're moving up.
Yeah.
Out of the MVFC. So, you know, you have these schools that are moving up that I don't really think should be, and then these schools that are staying down in the FCS that I really don't think should be. The only reason I would be okay with Idaho answering a phone call from the Pac-12 commissioner is because Boise State is joining, and that means that Boise State can't dodge the Vandals anymore.
Yeah, so that is true. I mean, for me per se, I'm just under the impression that this school right here is just barely rebuilding from their move from the Sun Belt. And I don't, and we inside my amazing sports reporting 323 class at 8 o'clock in the morning had about an hour debate on this, is that the school just isn't up to par. I mean, and our fans are definitely not up to par because we have one of the smallest stadiums at 16, and we can barely, it barely gets sold out. And so we're expecting to go to Martin Stadium and play games in there. I mean, or we're going to have to tear down the Kiwi Dome and expand it. And it's just, it's not going to happen. So, and we've had a lot of success in two sports, but all the other sports would really suffer if the Vandals go up to the Pac-12 or I would say even the Mountain West Conference.
Yeah, I mean, you know, volleyball would be at a deficit. You know,
our volleyball team might get cut if we ever go up.
Yeah, and you know, tennis plays a lot of these upper division schools, and swimming and diving is part of the WAC. So like there's. You know, if I'm Idaho, I'm continuing in the Big Sky, but if I were to move up, I'm splitting my teams across conferences like they currently do.
Yes, because, I mean, men's and women's basketball would really struggle. Volleyball would struggle. Football would, too. I mean, we've had good success against freaking Wyoming, and Wyoming might win, like, 2 games this year. They're the bottom of the Mountain West. So if we play, no offense, Vandals fans, but if we do play Boise State this year, we're not beating them. We're not even coming close.
Now, last season?
Last year, yes, for sure. But Ashton Genty is on another level. 9 touchdowns in 2 games. So I just think that with the whole thing, Idaho should stay where they are. They finally found a great, success throughout most of their sports that I think it's time to just settle down in the Big Sky for a bit. And then maybe if the Mountain West calls in 2026 and we've done well for most of our sports, so okay, maybe. It's definitely a possibility. But to agree to it right now would be a humongous mistake.
I totally agree. We're running out of time here, so I just want to say thank you all for tuning in and listening to Jaden and I's rants. You probably just heard Jaden whisper predictions to me. You know, if you're a wrestling fan, you've heard the phrase, I believe in Joe Hendry. I believe in Nick Josefek or Jack Wagner or whoever's starting. Idaho's going to beat Albany, 34-17.
Wow.
I don't know where those numbers came from, but that's my prediction.
I've got it in a way low-scoring game. I've got it. I'm going to go 24-17 this time, and I'm going to say Idaho squeaks by a win.
Well, that's Jane and I's predictions. Hopefully we will see you this afternoon and tomorrow in the Kibbe Dome for University of Albany, and then a soccer game against Utah Tech. So thank you all for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter at James Aldridge25, and you can follow Jaden at
Jaden Barfus 10.
Thank you all, and have a good rest of your day.